Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
Good evening, Sharks fans. It is Monday, March 25th, 2019, and the San Jose Sharks lose to the Detroit Red Wings 3-2. Oh, boy. And they have now lost six in a row. After winning six in a row, and we're on the verge of taking over first place in the Pacific Division, the division they should be having right now as we speak. So, welcome to Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks postgame. I am Eric Kura. You can always follow me on the Twitter machine at PuckGuy14. But of course, if you want to be a part of the show, here's how you do it. There are multiple ways to interact with us. Chat with us and fellow Sharks fans in the YouTube chat, on the page, or the app. You can hashtag your tweets at Tealtown USA or at Tealtown USA, but make sure you follow us on all of our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and the YouTube channel. Joining me tonight via satellite from New Mexico, it is a guy who probably doesn't have laundry on his bed right now, Eric Landy.
Hey, Puck Guy. Yes, tonight's, check-in slash interview slash rant about the Sharks is coming to you via the Comfort in Suites Wi-Fi. Woo!
And to get it out of the way now, before anybody else says it, it's probably better Wi-Fi than Puck Guy's AOL internet. There. Got it? Cool. Awesome. Because we got a lot of things to rant about tonight. I mean, we might be saltier than your margarita glass at this point. So
that would be the rim of your margarita glass. Thank
well,
you, very much.
You know what? At this point, you could probably just throw all the margarita salt into the drink, and it still wouldn't be.
And God damn it, I'm wearing Mickey. Okay, Mickey is a Sharks fan, for Christ's sake. Just no mojo. There's no mojo right now.
Give it two washes and it won't work, but it is nice. All right.
While I was cleaning out my room, because, you know, I needed to do that for the longest time, I found that my San Jose Sharks only parking placard had fallen on the floor. And I was like, maybe this is why we're losing. So then I put it back up. And what happens? Well, garbage.
Garbage indeed. And it's such bad garbage that we have to say it with, you know, the French accent, garbage.
So, garbage, exactly.
Let's get into it. The Sharks looking to snap a 5-game losing streak. They've been 0-4-1 since going on that 6-game winning streak.
Hey, Puck Guy.
Yeah.
You know how you snap a 6-game losing streak? You open it up by letting the Detroit Red Wings score 38 seconds into the game.
And that they did, folks. Dylan Larkin gets on a breakaway and scores, making Brendan Dillon and more so Justin Braun look like rented mules with his 28th goal of the season from Manta and Rocket's least favorite hockey player, Bertuzzi. At 38 seconds, makes it 1-0 Detroit. What did you have?
I have a lot to say on this and the Athanasiou goal, but on this goal, look, you cannot give up these neutral zone turnovers, especially when you're the last line of defense. You've got this kind of stacked layer where you had Braun as the trailing guy, and you had Dillon, who had kind of staggered a little bit further up into the neutral zone. You give up the puck there, and you create a 2-on-1, and you cannot give Larkin and Mantha that much gap, because, you know, if there is a fumble with the puck, if there is some kind of turnover, you know, God forbid, you're going to have these two speedsters right down your throat. What ends up happening? They give up the puck. They They speed right by the floating pylon that is Justin Braun. And we really need to talk about that. I think it's time that DeBoer takes a approach of carte blanche, meaning you have no standing in this lineup right now, whether you're a veteran or a rookie or whatever. If you fuck up, you are going to have to face some consequences. And you know what? Braun has for whatever reason, evaded the doghouse for the entire season and has played piss poor the entire season.
Well, you wonder if the confidence went down a bit when the second that they acquired Erik Karlsson, that they immediately had put him right up with Mark-Edouard Vlasic. That was the original pairing. That's what PDB wanted to do. And I wonder if that kind of stung him a bit as to say, you know, yeah, you've been great on the number one pairing for such a great time, but all of a sudden, well, we got EK65 now, so now we can't put you with Burns because, you know, Joachim Ryan is the new Burns whisperer. Look, well, that worked out great, so let's put you on with Brendan Dillon.
While I agree that could be a factor and you're only human, he's had almost an entire season to adjust. He's a damn professional, for Christ's sake. I mean, this is his job. And to get beat constantly like this, whether it's having, you know, blind passes go through the neutral zone, giving it up on your, you know, the opponent's blue line, you know, fumbling the puck around, you know, on the rims, it's high time that this kind of play be ironed out for a team that has Stanley Cup aspirations. And I'm sorry, you know, I love Justin Braun. You know, he's been a great foot soldier for the Sharks, you know, and has had some really tough personal things going on with his wife's husband or wife's father last year.
Yeah.
And you know, just, you know, a lot of different personal, you know, issues going on, but man, like, you know, Peter DeBoer can't be blind to this. He must see this, right? Or are we just kind of creating something out of thin air here?
Yeah, no, it's a thing. And let's be real here. He's done a serviceable job up until this season, in my opinion. He's played very well up until this season. And like I said, I just think his confidence is shot. And yeah, he is a professional hockey player, but sometimes those psychological battles get in your head. And I think, unfortunately for the Sharks, they have had a lot of those psychological battles get to their head in their history, mind you. And they just never seem to recover it. Laurel, thank you for the donation. Appreciate it. Of course, if you're in the super chat, any donation you share with us goes help to help out the show, whether it gets us new equipment, helps down with the website costs and all that stuff. So appreciate that as always.
Yeah, it goes directly, you know, it goes directly to the content providers, and you know, it goes to a really good place, and we can continue to give you guys this kind of coverage and this kind of content, you know, because it really, it's our passion project, and we started out, you know, negative monies. So, you know, making anything and, you know, all the contributions, whether it's, you know, cents on the dollar here, or, you know, we had a pretty large donation the other night, you know, it's really appreciated, and you know what, not expected by any means. We
appreciate it immensely.
Yeah. But yeah, getting back to the Braun question, I could understand if you're being paired with a, you know, a third pairing scrub, but you're being put with Brendan Dillon. And Brendan Dillon has consistently been good this season. Yeah. He was good last season. So, you know,
you can even argue he's been one of their best offensive defensemen
this year, for sure. Yeah, over the course of 82 games this year, I would totally agree with that sentiment. You know, I would say he's been more consistent than Vlasic. Vlasic has definitely been on a tear in the last, you know, what is it, 15 games, mm-hmm. And looked a lot better defensively since the break. But Brendan Dillon has been consistent.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, again, you would understand if it's a third line, you know, a third pairing scrub that you're being placed with, but you're being placed with Brendan Dillon. You know what? It's time, honestly, Eric, it's time to cut all the bullshit aside and all the excuses aside, because we're getting to crunch time here. We're getting to if anybody remembers Junkyard Wars, Tinker Time. At the very end, you know, you get an hour before you're supposed to present whatever you create. You're supposed to present what you've done, the accomplishments of this season is now.
Yeah. Hey. And I'm going to pull this up right now because I think it leads into everything. And Joe Pavelski, what would you say to this team right freaking now? Because it needs some loving right now.
Just fucking stop. Look, it probably fucking started with us. Fucking everybody, we want it, right? Want to do it ourselves. It's not going to work that way. It's not going to work 50-second shifts. Pace is going to be fucking high. Short, get off, good changes. Can't get skated. There's a fucking lesson out there. 25 games left. Fuck. They're all playoff games for us. We got fucking nothing right now. Soft shit doesn't win in the playoffs. In these last 20 games, it's not going to fucking win either. So fucking, there's one way we're doing it. We're doing it fucking hard. We're getting lines. We're not cheating. Fucking Raymond going to the net. It's going to be fucking...
Now, that was 4 years ago when they were... prior to the stadium series when they were still in a playoff race. And it, to me, it's just getting frustrated to see how this team has just faltered. And I mean, we just only talked about the goal, and that was 38 seconds in. But what's alarming, Landy, this is the 63rd time that the Sharks have allowed the first goal in the game. What we have, I think they've played.
There's only five other teams that have had 60 or more goals in the first 5 minutes of a game. And the rest of those are non-playoff teams.
Yep. It is the 50th time that Martin Jones has allowed a goal in the first 5 minutes of a game out of 58 starts.
Look,
I love Joner, and I think this team has just taken their foot off the gas, but that's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. I think it, for me at least, that stat is a little bit more revealing about the defense not being ready to come play. While I think that Jones has been part of the problem, and I would say probably 60% of the problem. I thought that tonight, you know, I thought that he played decent. I didn't think that he played bad. I didn't think that he played out of his mind, but was he played good enough for that team to win?
Yeah.
That's the thing. And you know, your goalie can, you know, win you games and lose you games, or you can just be kind of neutral to a game. And tonight I thought he was neutral to a game.
He was neutral because he let in that first goal. He saved your bacon in the third period. He came up with some big saves in the third. We'll get to that in a little bit. 5:34, the first. Braun takes a holding call and just adds to the S show that he had early on in this game. Sharks outshot Detroit 11-9 in that period. Detroit doesn't do anything on that one power play. But then Detroit just destroyed the Sharks in the faceoff circle, 64% at the faceoff dot. Just rough to see. What was rougher was the second period where, you know, the Sharks continue to be passy and not shooty. 5:34, Athanasiu goes off for tripping. Sharks don't do much on that power play. 10 minutes in, Kane has a 2-on-1. He's going in. He's got a defender with him, and he sees a second Red Wing coming. He tries to pass the puck. It gets broken up. That's one of those things where it's like, boys, you got great shots. Get the puck on net at least. If anything, get that second guy set up for a rebound on Bernier.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, we're talking a little bit, you know, there's some talk here in the chat about the Jones bashing. But again, for everybody who's joining a little bit late, this tonight was not on Jones. He, like I said, pure neutral to this game. But I also think that the way that the team plays in front of them is due to his prior play. Meaning that I don't think there is a ton of confidence in the room right now for him to make that spectacular save. Yeah. They say, oh, you know, we're confident in our goaltenders. You know, we have all the confidence in the world. You know, we hear it repeated. But when you're looking at a goaltender who's sub 900 save percentage, you know, this has got to be, you know, be wearing on the confidence of the team as well. So, you know, well, tonight I would not put it on him. I think that it affects the play in front of them.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I'm going to reiterate, like I said the last time we were on, the Sharks have continued to try to do this. Let's shoot for a tip. Let's try to bank it off the boards. Look, right now when your game is this sick, you can't be doing that kind of stuff. Yes, I know that there's a ton of players in front of the goaltender on most nights because that's collapsing D is the name of the game. But you need to get more consistent shots on net, especially from the blue line. How many times did we see tonight a shot from the blue line either go wide, go over the net, go, you know, hit players? Yeah, exactly. And it's like, look, guys, it's either try to push the play from the back end, whether that's you want to try and skate it into the slot and get a prime time shooting shot there. I'm being redundant, but it's either that or you try and do these bombs from the blue line. And right now the bombs from the blue line are what, 1 in 4, 1 in 5 are getting through into the net, Eric? Maybe not even that much.
If that, I mean, right now the shooting accuracy is so bad. Christian Ehrhoff is laughing at this team right now. I mean, it's just really rough for them to get on target. And I get it. You want to do the tips, but your best tipper isn't in the lineup right now. You know, and it's a tough one to have.
Marty T, exactly kind of our point is bombs from the blue line make sense when exactly. You have halves in front of the net. That's exactly this team needs to be able to recalibrate and reset the way that it plays when there are members missing. Right now, we're not seeing that. We saw that earlier when Erik Karlsson first went down. You know, we saw them take that in stride and go on to that six-game winning streak. But when Pavs is out of the lineup, this team is completely lost because their identity, their net front identity, goes away. So you've got to be able to create a different identity when he's out of the lineup, and you have to simplify your game. Right now, too many passes, power plays galore, are pass. They're really denying themselves primetime scoring opportunities in order to try and get that pretty passing play. And it's just not there.
And the other thing too, we talk about how Pavs is the tip point. It's we get it, but not everybody's a tipper. Here's an idea. And since we're playing Detroit, remember Tomas Holmstrom would just park his big old butt right in front of the lane. Someone who isn't worried about having a movie career, get in front of the net and try to screen the goaltender. I mean, my God, especially on the power play, you know, you need the net front presence for a rebound or anything. Maybe you get the tip, but I know Pavs goes a little more into the slot to even set up for a one-timer. So yeah. It's like it's crying out loud. It's frustrating all the way around. It got more frustrating when Joakim Ryan makes a bad turnover. It gives up the breakaway to Athanasiou, who's happy to see you go and beat Martin Jones at 15:37 with the second period. Red Wings up 2-0. That one was a painful.
That was the backbreaker, because after that goal they looked discombobulated, to say the least. For me at least, that's definitely number one. It's what's Ryan doing there? Ryan has the puck almost stripped when it hits off of the linesman. In my view, he's already looking up ice instead of trying to scout out and spot where his other teammates are. And he knows that they're trying to go, and especially on the long change, they're trying to get the change completed. Why do you not just bring that back into the defensive zone and just eat it on the boards? That way you're not giving up any kind of two-on-ones. If you do have an issue, you know, where you're going to get outnumbered, at least you have it pinned up in the corner where you're giving yourself the opportunity to get some help. And this is what I've kind of reiterated on Twitter. Ryan looks like a defenseman trying to play so that he's not removed from the lineup again. He's playing a timid game, but he's also trying to make these great passing plays to show what kind of defenseman he is and what kind of value he can bring. It's almost like he's his own worst enemy out there. He's playing against himself. What he really needs to do is, again, simplify his game. He's a meat and potatoes kind of defenseman. That's all Peter DeBoer wants from him. And yet he's still trying to make that Hail Mary pass when he should be making the methodical 4 to 5 yard rush. Mm-hmm. Look, it's not sexy, and you're not going to be showing up on the scoreboard, but what you are going to generate is you're going to be a net positive, and you're going to be a defensive presence for a team that quite frankly needs more of a defensive presence, especially when you've got an offensive minded defenseman in Burns out there. Yeah. He has to protect the house. He has to protect the puck. That's his first effing job.
Yeah, Matt Dyson, that's why Martin was a great partner for Burns. I would think more so the first 2 years. He was a reliable defensive defenseman. He just lacked in speed, and that's the one thing that Joakim Ryan had.
Because when he was solidly in the lineup, he was playing with the confidence. He was confident enough to say, you know what? I don't have to make that Hail Mary play. I can eat it on the boards and wait for my guys to come back into the zone. Now he's feeling like he's got to make these pressure-packed plays when he should just slow the game down.
Marty T saying, I think these guys look up to 80 and 65 to elevate their games when we need more 44s. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to see. You need defensive defensemen. While yes, you will have EK65, we hope, for the playoffs, and Burns to provide some extra offense on the blue line, you do need your Brendan Dillons, you need your Mark Edward Vlasics to be defensively sound. You know, it's what's going to take it. I know Andy Man mentioned that the lowest save percentage that Martin Jones had was the year that the team went to the cup final, and that was .923. So it's just going to be, you know, it's like, really, it's just a frustrating. Andy Man saying, notice that Steve Spott, who worked with the forwards when we struggled to score early in the year, is now handling the defense. Since he moved to defense, our team has worsened. I'm not going to touch that one.
And you know what? No, I mean, honestly, right now, Burns looks like a player who's a little lost out there, right? And I think that that's because he doesn't have a lot of confidence in Ryan. He had confidence in Šimek. And that's the thing. When you've got a player who's got confidence and knows he can make some serious creative plays and knows that he's kind of got his security blanket back there, he plays better. It's just flat out. You can just see it in the way that he breaks the puck out. He just plays better. Right now, Burns to me looks like he's got the weight of the entire defense corps on his shoulders. And that's not a good position to put him in. Because, you know, he is a Norris winning defenseman, but he's not going to, you can't trot him out 60 minutes a game.
Yeah. And that's very tough to deal with. But moving on to the third period, that's when things actually started getting crazy. You know, the first two periods, like, okay, nothing much. Too much happened there. The Sharks outshot Detroit 23-18 after two. But third period gets going. 30 seconds in, another breakaway. Athanasiou had a chance to go in. Jones makes a huge save that kept this team in the game. 4 minutes later, another breakaway. Jones again makes the stop there. So while we can complain about the first 5 minutes of the game, Jones did come back to save them. But it's a tough one. 7:21. McElrath goes in for slashing Jumbo, which kind of stung Jumbo a bit, and I hope he's okay. But unfortunately, what wasn't okay was the worst. I've seen this happen before in 2004 in overtime of game one of the Western Conference Final. It was like the worst line change in NHL history. Yeah. The team, the Sharks, who were on the power play, and the Red Wings are making a shorthanded chance, and the team is making a change behind them.
Yep.
It's absolutely unacceptable that only one or two players are back there helping out Jones. Jones can't come out to play it because Red Wings are coming. They missed a shot on the first try. They bang home the second one, and there's just standing around and late to it. A shorthanded goal by Christopher and makes it 3-0. Glendening and Helm with the assist at 8:35. That's your backbreaker, and that's your game winner, folks. And I'm sorry, but stuff like that, along with the puck over glass and the hella dudes on the frozen pond penalties that we saw earlier in the season, and now we see this bad line change when you're supposed to be playing defensively despite being a power play, is unacceptable. And unfortunately, a bad line change is what cost this team at least a point tonight.
Yeah, Eric, I'm for everybody who's listening post, you know, when they're listening on the replay to this, and you're going to have, if you listen to a podcast form, be prepared to hear the bleep meter. It's game fucking 76. And you're still making piss poor line changes. The line changes have been an issue in the second period the entire year. It has not been addressed. Line changes on the power play have been an issue not being addressed. And it's game 76, and you still cannot make clean executed line changes. I'm flabbergasted. You know, it's like, do you guys need to do, you know, basically practicing this? I mean, is this what you really need to be practicing? Game 76.
I agree. It's absolutely. It's absolutely mind-boggling, and a lot of these guys have been around, so they know what they should be doing. So I don't understand that at all. So, AJ opposing as us. Someone jot this date down. Landy's internet is worse than Puckeye. This will never happen again. Shut up, AJ.
Yeah. Hey, you know how my internet had to be worse than Puckeye's? I had to be calling in from New Mexico in a hotel. Okay, that's how it was able to be.
We'll touch on that in a little bit, but so 8:35, N gets the shorty. That makes it 3-0 Sharks. 20 seconds later, they finally woke up. Evander Kane decided to shoot too. He gets his 29th of the season on the power play. Thornton and Heed with the assist there. Landy?
Eric? Yeah, I was just going to ask you this question. How did they score that goal?
Net front presence.
Exactly. It was a garbage goal, to say the least.
I put a tweet out there on my Twitter with a GIF from the 94 playoff run with a gal holding a sign, "We love ugly hockey."
Yeah. No, it you know what? Ugly duckling goals are still goals. Mm-hmm. And they're still ducklings. And they're still cute, even if they're fugly. You know what? A win is a win. And when you've got two teams, one that you're chasing, one that's chasing you, they both lose. You've been gift wrapped. You've been gift wrapped an ability to move up and to stave off.
Yeah.
And especially on a 5-game losing streak, Eric, I don't understand why the simple game is not implemented.
And
you know, maybe it's too hard. Maybe it's too hard. Maybe there's not enough, you know, gusto to play simply because it's harder to play simply. Maybe these guys are afraid to go in front of the net. Maybe they don't want to get hurt. Who knows? But
I get it. But you know what? You do what you do to win.
Yeah.
And in life and as in hockey, it takes goals to win. I swear I've heard that in the commercial sometime. 9:23, Larkin takes a penalty for hooking. At 15:21, Detroit takes another penalty. I mean, the Sharks had plenty of chances to get back into this game. Unfortunately, Hurdle pots in his 33rd of the season because he notices that his battle between goals. Watch out, Kane scored one, so that means Hurdle has to score one. Literally. Hurdle gets his 33rd. He was parked right in front of the net. What a shock. Meyer and LeBanc on there. Too little too late. That comes with about 4 seconds left. That doesn't get the job done. Sharks lose 3-2. There's your ultimate teaser goal. But
hey, you know what, though? Listen to this. At least
I've been more appropriate there. Sorry.
Hey, at least Burns got the puck on net, right? You know, the freaking Bernier had to make a save there. So it wasn't for a lack of trying with 4 seconds left. And look, you're exactly right. Too little, too late. Not enough buy-in into a simplified game.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, head in the clouds with the line changes and head in the clouds with the giveaways. You know what? This is going to be this team's undoing. And I hate to say this, but that's Detroit doing this to you. What will it look like when you've got Vegas?
Well, and that's the thing. You lost to LA and Anaheim last week, two of the worst teams in the West. You lost to Ottawa pretty badly in December, where he had to call a team meeting. You lose to Detroit. So essentially, you lost to the two worst teams in the East now. Throw in Florida, for that matter, within the last couple of weeks. I mean, the effort is unacceptable. When you have Brett Hedekin about to blow a gasket during the second intermission and basically said there are way too many passengers on this team right now, that tells you something. That's like almost to the point of Ray Ratto's just win the game.
Yeah. You know? We don't ever see Hedy that animated.
I mean, I'm trying to look for what Bakes said as well. I mean, Bakes even said, you know, what was it? Will do or do it? And it's just one thing after another. And it's like, come on, boys.
And you know what? To even go further on that point, Eric, it's not like these teams are beating them because of talent. That's the scary thing. It's not like they're not. There's not enough effort. It's not like it's you know, they're being completely outhandled. These are self-inflicted wounds.
And the thing there, and I know AD's going to roll his eyes the second I say this, but to use an analogy from the hockey movie Miracle, you don't have enough talent to win on talent alone. Yes, this is the best Sharks team we've seen on paper. That doesn't mean you're going to get the Stanley Cup handed to you. And if you did, it's probably going to Tampa right now. But Bakes said, dig deep, want it more. Seriously, guys, let's go already. You got 6 games to go. You got Chicago coming in, who's on their last straw for a playoff chance. Then you have a back-to-back with Vegas on Saturday and Calgary on Sunday. And then you have Vancouver, Edmonton, and Colorado. That Colorado game could decide whether or not you have home ice or not. That Colorado game might decide if Colorado gets into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Randy Hahn even said it tonight. These teams that are out of it, just because they're out of it doesn't mean they're going to quit. And let's go already.
Right. For Tron 15.
Tron Disc, yes.
Tom. Yeah. I've gotten more Jack Black than anything else, but I like the Bam Margera comment. I think it's the hair, but thank you. I totally agree with you. It's crunch time, and right now they're not meeting up to par.
Yeah,
they're not meeting up to par. And you know what? The game that sticks out like a sore thumb to me is that Vegas game. You talk about a game that really was a statement that was really, you know, to put your mark on, okay, you know, you're coming into our building, you're going to be playing us here for a 7-game series, and you lose 7-3. And it wasn't even close. You know, you look at that Florida game. You know, maybe out of this, in this entire losing streak, the one game that I'll give them the pass for was the Nashville game. But even still, man, like, it's not good. Not good. It's not good optics at all.
Not at all. I'm going to go through the live chat here and just go for it. Joshua Zalk. Braun will never be scratched because he's a veteran, plain and simple. And that's why I think DeBoer is an average coach at best. His personnel decisions have proven to suck. Jerry F. Ryan looks like he would be lost playing for the CUDA. Christopher Shin. Most goals up against end up being Braun frantically searching for the person he was supposed to defend while that player buries the puck in the net. Joshua, again, I'm so fed up with a team that has Stanley Cup final potential is not reaching their potential. I think even AJ was talking, maybe you bring in DeSimone and Middleton so you can move Burns to forward. No, AJ, no. Do Pavs and K65 come back early if the Sharks get close to losing home ice? Who knows? PDB and the Andy Man, thank you for saying that. Quote, we didn't have many guys who had legs for 60 minutes. You know, he mentioned Burns was one of the few who did. I mean, seriously? And he continued on to saying, I don't care who you play. If you don't play with the proper level of desperation, these are the results we get. I thought Jones was good, made some big saves, but we didn't have enough participants for 60 minutes. Again, that goes back to what Hedekin said during second intermission about way too many passengers on this team. It's what happened in 2009, you know?
Yeah.
Eric,
I mean, where's Jonas Donskoy? The shell of Jonas Donskoy, you know, the ghost of Jonas Donskoy, where is he?
I like I said on a previous show, I please repropose to your fiance, because when you propose to your fiance, you went on a streak, and that streak just died in Vegas. And even and Randy Hahn was very honest tonight when he said Jonas Donskoy hasn't scored in forever. It's like, come on. And it's too late to call up anybody from the Barracuda. Yeah, you're going to call up Dylan Gambrell up and down, up and down. You know, you're not going to call up Francis Perron. You're not going to call up Alex True. It's one of those things where you have to get going, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I tend to think, I look at Alex True as a guy that I'd be interested in bringing up. Another guy, you know, if you really wanted to play that black ace, you know, kind of card, is Joachim Blichfield. But Portland's going to be in the Memorial Cup, but playoffs. But you know, they're supposed to not do so well. So we'll see where and how Portland end up. But you know, he's a guy that I would look to maybe, you know, inject something. But look, this team needs something right now. They have a fourth line that, you know, I like the pieces of it. I like Gaudreau's game tonight. Gaudreau looked like he had some skates, but you know, he's put away in the third period. Yeah, why doesn't Peter DeBoer redistribute the fourth line? Basically, put Gaudreau maybe with Couture and Nyquist, or Couture and Meyer, you know, or and why doesn't he put Carlson back with Thornton and Sorensen? So give him two Swedes to pass to, you know, like I don't understand the deployments that Peter DeBoer is doing. does anybody? But
AJ's saying it. F it. Bring up Shemilevsky and Chekovich too. I think they're still under there. You know. All that being said, I think I have the stat here as well, because I mentioned on the broadcast tonight, the fourth line in its last two games have drawn three penalties. So they're doing something in that sense. Also, one another thing that the broadcasters mentioned tonight, on March 1st, the Sharks power play was seventh. Now, remember, earlier in the season, it was like on the top two. It's now 21st in the league.
Oh, you penalty kill. Sorry.
Penalty kill. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
and Andy, man, not sure who else caught this tonight on the telecast, but Vlasic is the Sharks' leading scorer since February 23rd. That's one goal and nine assists. Unacceptable.
No, yeah, I not really much more to say than that.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. I know that everybody is also dealing with this. The team, you know, we know what the team can play up to, what kind of standards the team can play to. And I think that that's the most frustrating part about it, is we see that these wounds are self-inflicted again, over and over and over again, self-inflicted wounds. And we know that they can play an elite level game. I mean, not just an upper echelon, but I'm talking like better than freaking Tampa Bay. You know, earlier in the season when Tampa Bay came to San Jose and I was at that game, we rode them right out of the rink. I mean, that was men against boys. Mm-hmm. And where is that Sharks team? Is it all Erik Karlsson and Joe Pavelski? I mean, they're important pieces, yeah, but you know what?
It'll certainly be a boost for sure.
Last time I checked, there's still a bunch of 50-point scorers on the team.
Yeah, I agree. Let's not get crazy. I doubt DeSimone's going to get in there and play. But, you know, Couture barely had a voice on postgame, apparently. He's still recovering. At this point, we need healthy guys, either whether they don't feel good or they're not feeling great with their bodies. This team needs to get healthy. This team needs to get on there. And honestly, they need to get it going soon. Let's talk about the elephant in the room as we transition out of here before we go to the wraparound. Drew Doughty. He hates everybody.
Oh my God! You know,
we'll throw aside Matthew Tkachuk in the comments he had tonight, along with the nice two-handed slash that he gave Tkachuk that only got a 2-minute penalty. tonight in the game up in Alberta. But Drew Doughty saying Giordano should win the Norris as opposed to Burns, because he watches, just watch one San Jose game, and Burns, he gives up, you know, gives three turnovers and such, to paraphrase him. Kind of put this together for you here as to most likely who will the three Norris candidates, or I'm sorry, the first one I'm going to show the Norris winners from the past five seasons after the shortened 2013 season. Keith with 61 points, a plus 22. I put in blocks and giveaways along with plus minus to make a point here. You know, Doughty had plus 24 and 51 points. Burns had 76 points the year he won it, with a plus 19, along with an astonishing amount of blocks and such. Hedman won it with a great offensive year and a great plus minus there as well. But then I'm like, okay, let's see what he's getting at here. And of course, to make full note, I made sure to put what Drew Doughty's stats were this season as well. Giordano, I didn't know he was that close, Landy, at 72 points, and he has a plus 37 with some great blocks, and but he does have 60 giveaways. Victor Hedman also having a great season, but if you're playing for the Tampa Bay Lightning, who isn't having a great season? Let's be honest here. And then Brent Burns with the 77 points. Has a plus 13, has nearly 100 blocks. This was entering tonight, by the way, but it does have 110 giveaways. By the way, Drew Doughty, 41 points and a minus 30. Let that soak in. Yeah. So, Landy, what do you say about what Doughty said today?
I think it's just Drew Doughty, you know, trying to make up for the fact that his LA Kings are the laughing stock of the NHL and they suck real bad and they should feel bad. That being said, though, I think Giordano, to me, unfortunately, he's playing for a Cinderella Canadian team, so he's going to get that big plus driver. Mm-hmm. He's almost tied for points with Burns. He's better, you know, defensive, he's got better defensive metrics than Burns does. I think Gio has the inside track for the Norris this year. Unfortunately, you know, I'd love to see Burns get another one, but I don't see it. And again, I'm going to go full conspiracy mode here, but it's going to be down to Canadian bias. And because, you know, the Canadian media has such a hard on for Calgary right now, it's not even funny. So,
and for that matter, and mind you, Giordano's have a hell of a season, and he definitely deserves to be at least in the top three for the nomination of the Norris. But you said it right there, and don't think that all the hockey shows in Canada aren't going to talk about Drew Doughty a little bit, because it's going to pump up Giordano.
No, and I totally agree. I think Gio is the deserving player based upon all of the metrics taken on the whole. But you add to the fact and add to the mystique, like I said, playing for a Canadian team that's doing really well, he's going to win it. He's going to capture like something like 60% of the vote. It's going to be really high. It's going to be really high.
As it should, to be quite honest. So, all right, Landy, is it time?
Yeah, it's time for me to extract an ounce of hilarity out of this. So let's give me my reach around.
Excuse me.
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
It's wrap around. All right, let's get to it, folks, to the night's action in the NHL. It is your NHL wrap around in Toronto. John Tavares with the rooster trick. He scores four goals as the Leafs win 7-5 over the Panthers. Former Shark Patrick Marleau with his 16th ties Joe Thornton in the goal scoring race this year. Luongo takes the loss for the Cats from South Florida. Jonathan Huberdeau and Hallrook, with two goals each in a losing cause. In New Jersey, Corey Schneider picks up the victory as the Devils win 3-1 over Buffalo. In New York, the Penguins win 5-2 over the Rangers. Bluger with two goals on the night. Matt Murray with the victory over Georgiev. In Tampa, the Bruins were up 4-2 going into the third period, but then the Lightning strike three times in the third to win 5-4. Cirelli with the game-winning goal with 53 seconds left. In St. Louis, thank you so much, Blues. The Blues win 3-1 over the Vegas Golden Knights. Barbashev, O'Reilly, and Sanford with the goals. Bennington gets the victory over Malcolm Subban, while Bill Carlson, his 23rd of the season in a losing effort. Nashville clinches their ticket to the playoffs with a 1-0 win over the Minnesota Wild. Ryan Johansson with the game-winning goal, a shorthanded goal in the first, does it as Saros gets the shutout for the Predators. In Dallas, Stars 5, Jets 2. Kyle Connor gets a goal. Patrick Laine finally gets to the 30-goal mark, but it wasn't enough. Tyler Seguin with two goals gets the Stars closer to clinching a playoff spot. In Calgary, Drew Doughty's LA Kings shut out the Calgary Flames 3-0. Forbort, Brodzinski, and Toffoli with the goals as the Flames go shut out there. We told you about the Sharks and the Red Wings losing 3-2. Earlier in the weekend, the San Jose Barracuda had a weekend stint down in Tucson and was a tough one. They lost on Sunday 2-1 to the Tucson Roadrunners. They play Wednesday night in San Diego, and then they will play on Friday night at home against the Ontario Reign. That's a 7 p.m. start. Get your tickets at sjbarracuda.com. So with that, what does that all mean? Well, Landy, what does it all mean? It means that the Sharks had a chance to pull up a number of chances, but to gain ground on Vegas and Calgary, but no. So Calgary stays at 101 with six games remaining. San Jose at 95 with six games remaining. Vegas at 90 with six games remaining. Basically, here for the Sharks to clinch home ice, well, Vegas can max out at 102. And essentially, for the first round home ice, the Sharks need to get eight more points to clinch that. If they want to steal the Pacific Division, it's getting bleak right now, folks. The Sharks need to basically win out. And so that might be a tough one. And I throw this in there just in case, because I am that much of an optimist, Landy. They need 12 points to finish better than any Central Division team. So if they do go to the Western Conference Final, they would have home ice.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, they got to win out, and God, I hope they can take advantage of a spiraling Chicago team, and then by some miracle, Pavs and Carlson visit Lourdes and get the elixir of life or whatever, and, you know, go on for a miracle run. But am I holding my breath for that? No.
Another reminder is AJ put it on there. Tickets for the first round for the Sharks playoffs go on sale at 10 a.m. tomorrow at Ticketmaster.com or the SAP Center box office. So get your playoff tickets ready. You know it's always a fun atmosphere there at the Shark Tank come playoff time.
Well, so why would they? I don't know. Why would you do that now?
Well, you know, you get it done early, and
fortuitous timing.
Well, also at this point too, you're not assured who you're going to play in the first round. And to get more of a home crowd in there might be beneficial. Because once it's set in stone that the Sharks are playing Vegas, Vegas fans might invade.
Yeah, well they're gonna invade whether or not.
Oh, sure, of course they will, but I mean,
yeah. Also, AJ, great point. Thank you so much for pointing this out. Also, for everybody who's watching, and there's 53 of you, thank you so much for watching. If you haven't already, please subscribe and tell some friends. We love having more and more subscribers. We are encroaching upon that 1,300 mark. So thank you for everybody who has subscribed already. AJ brings up a great point. The last three games of the season are listed as NBCSN Plus.
Yes.
Only. So if you guys are wondering where to find the game, it is NBCSN Plus. That is because opening day is this Sunday.
It's this Thursday.
Thursday, oh.
Yeah, what? It's Thursday. That's why, so if you're looking for the Chicago game against the Sharks, it'll be on NBCSN or NBC Sports California Plus. Log on to NBCSportsCalifornia.com to find it in your area. If you are on the Xfinity out here in the Bay Area, it's going to be on your remote. I can't think of the channel right now. I think it's like 785. Or somewhere in there, but just go to NBCSportsCalifornia.com to find where you'll find the game in the area. So,
yeah. I'm trying to think here. I'm just talking to myself. I'm trying to figure out when the Giants play. I thought it was Sunday. I could have sworn it was Sunday. But who knows? Not me, apparently.
Yep. So... And they're talking the playoffs will be on the Golf Channel. Yes, it wouldn't be surprising if that was the case. So, all right. Well, in case you missed anything or you want to watch this again, I don't see why not. But, you know, would you want to watch the game tonight? Check us out on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Of course, as Landy just said, make sure you smash that subscribe button. We appreciate it immensely all night long for sure. So, Landy, yeah. Your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
Final thoughts are for the love of the hockey gods, let's start with baby steps. Let's beat Chicago like 2-1. I'd be happy with a 2-1 winner. That's my final thoughts. And as far as where you can find me, you can use my first name. That's E-R-I-K, last name, L-A-N-D-I on all the social media garbage. And come find me. Come talk hockey. Come talk baseball. And let's go do this thing.
If we're talking baseball, when it's time for a change, think Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, your trusted oil change, tune-up, and repair experts.
Landy's girlfriend just entered the room, so.
Uh-oh. In other words, we need to go, or I should say Landy needs to go. My final thoughts, just win the game. I mean, just go out there and win the game. I mean, seriously, you have a lot more talent. Use that talent to beat the crap out of Chicago. Do you start Dell till you can prepare to play Jones back-to-back on the weekend? I don't know, but I think that might be an idea. You can find me on Twitter, at PuckGuy14, on the Twitter and the Instagram. We'll be back with you on Thursday night in stealth mode, the final stealth mode night, as the Sharks will take on the Blackhawks at 7:30. I'm seeing that it's supposed to be on NBC Sports California Plus, but it might be on the main channel as well. So check your local listings, check sjsharks.com and nbcsportscalifornia.com.
Or just go and get yourself a DNS server and stream it on NHL.tv. Shh, don't tell them it works.
I appreciate you sharing your password, though.
Yeah.
John, thank you too for hope and change. I agree completely. So with that, we will leave you. M. Hackle, final practice jersey night. Andy, man, you make a great point. I hope and pray we wear teal in the postseason. Enough of this black in the playoffs, and that's not our primary color. Uh-uh. I completely agree. So, Jonathan Becker, if you are watching, we want to rock teal. So, with that, we will leave you. A's play at 1 on Thursday, so the game should be on NBC on the main channel on NBC Sports California. So, until then, thank you for watching. Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. Have a great night, everyone. And Landy, go, go, go.
Ciao.